by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Woo! Good evening, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock, Cairo Nights. Spike O'Neill, welcome back. Matt's here with me tonight. Kevin's running the board tonight. I like that, Kev. Good to see you again, my friend. Kev's a metalhead, so we may have some musical deviations as we go through the course of the evening tonight, but we should be able to rock our way through this together.
We keep the music eclectic on this show, part of the fun.
We like to mix it up, something you might not expect. Let's take a look at how the day went for the Northwest. Started with the weather this morning. You know, was a week ago we had 90s, and now the thunderstorms came in. The thunder knocked out power to 9,000 residents of Fife, Dash Point, Browns Point, somewhere in the Vashon Island area. Lightning strikes knocked out power. Are some folks still without power, as I'm seeing, or is, wow, are they all back to being powered up, I think?
I think they're mostly back to full power. As far as I can tell, I don't think there's any major outages remaining.
We're used to losing power in the wind season, you know, in the falls. And then, of course, if we get snow, our power lines get cluttered up with a snow and thump. Transformers blow, big piles of snow. I hate being blacked out. Just the worst feeling. Welcome back if you are back with power. I wasn't ready for the thunderstorms today. I was listening to my computer doing some reading and heard a rumble. And I'm like, oh, man, a low-flying plane. And then I hear this lightning strike. Whoa. Nice to see that. I missed it. I miss summer thunderstorms.
It's not a sound you hear often lately.
Not here, no. We haven't had a big thunderstorm in Seattle in a while. Of course, thunderstorms over in eastern Washington, that's where lightning strikes. That's where the fires come from.
Right.
You know, that starts the fire. So this storm probably roll over the mountains. And there was reports of thunderstorms yesterday that they're worried about starting up some fires in the Pacific Northwest. So hopefully you guys enjoyed a little respite from the heat and a little bit of a summer rain. Be good for us. I like the thunder. Love the sound of thunder. Seattle police say they may have to cut back on police officers at sporting events. That's because they're just understaffed. Mayor Harrell says he hopes to hire roughly 500 Seattle police officers over the next 5 years. Because we talked about this earlier in the week, too. It's tough to find law enforcement officers. Police have had such a bad rap and a tough road of late. Between the whole defund the police fiasco, that was the worst branding exercise ever unveiled, to the protests in Seattle and Portland and cities across America, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, it's dust-ups. You know, it was tough to be a cop. And there were so many cases of excess police violence across the country. And I'm not painting police officers with a brush of excessive violence, but we've had more than our fair share of cases. Officers going to jail for excessive force. Just this week, the Breonna Taylor story, 4 officers there charged after a couple of years, I think, since that incident took place. So the city's having a tough time finding cops. When the whole CHOP thing last summer up on Capitol Hill, just a terrible, terrible handling of that situation. We got a new police chief out of that. You know, I think Chief Best resigned, probably mostly because of that incident. And you've heard other shows on this channel talk about how poorly that was handled. I won't go down that alley because there's no cops and it's a dangerous alley to go down. I don't want to do that. But it may show up in less police officers at your sporting events. Now, when cops work sporting events, it's reimbursed. The city's reimbursed, right? Cops make overtime pay to work events. And those hours are paid for most often by those teams themselves, Seattle Mariners, Seattle Seahawks. They'll reimburse the city at full cost for officers being out there on duty at the ball game. But there's going to be a shortage, and that's where some of the shortfalls of there are roughly 400 fewer officers than the city needs right now to be fully staffed in its precincts. They're 400 short of fully staffed. That's why you can't chase everybody down. It's why the cops won't come when you call them. They can't respond to every call. You call the police officer or police department with a complaint or the need for an officer, unless it's an emergency situation. They'll have you fill out a report online, and they'll get to it when they can, if they can. And that's not good for the city. It's a terrible situation. Nobody likes that. Hope we are able to hire more officers and enough officers. But I think if there's less officers at ball games, and there has been for a while now, they've been paring down. They'll put barricades up where they can't have – used to have cops standing. They'll try to mitigate the need for officers where ever they can with metal barricades or whatever it might be. If it's a big event, a sellout event, a Sounders game, a Mariner game with the sold out after post All-Star break, those are fully staffed with officers. They don't cut back the officers in those events. Big events will still get full contingents of officers. You remember when they put undercover officers in visiting jerseys at the Seahawks games? Started doing that about 5 years ago. Whenever there were dust-ups with certain fan bases would come to town, the Niners would come to town, the Cowboy fans would come to town, Packer fans would come to town. Seemed to always be dust. Raiders would come to town. Seemed to always be dust-up between local fans and Raider fans, Niner fans, the typical. But Bronco fans, Monday Night Football with the Broncos, there'll be maybe some dust-ups in the stands. So the city put undercover cops in visiting fan jerseys.
That's smart.
It's brilliant.
I love that.
Because the Bronco fan you're dissing and talking smack to and maybe throwing a beer at might just be a cop that can take you to jail. And just the thought that it might be a cop's enough to keep most folks, most smart folks, most sober folks from starting trouble.
And it ups the charge to assaulting an officer, too.
You know, I hadn't even thought about that, but that's absolutely right. You're not just mucking with somebody from San Francisco. You just threw beer on a police officer.
Nice move.
Yeah, that's a super smart move.
Way to go.
Yeah. What else we got going on? Oh, this fire. And this is this story's a little older. This is a couple days ago. The fire up in Linwood. Home fire. Right?
Yeah, a couple days ago at a house fire.
The ninth, yesterday,
Linwood.
The ninth. Or it happened on the night of the 8th, morning of the 9th. That's when the story broke. It's on mynorthwest.com. So a home fire, which are always terrible. We had a fire 2 years ago. I could tell you about that later tonight if you need, because there's a story that's relevant too. Home fire in Linwood, big fire. The two Teslas in the driveway exploded. Yeah, that's because I didn't realize Teslas could explode. I guess when you get them hot enough in the battery inside and all the electronics, that they exploded. But even worse was the ammo that went off. This guy had unsecured ammo at his house, and the ammo started going off in the fire, started shooting. Just random bullets flying through the air. The fire responders had to take cover. Couldn't respond to the fire because they're worried about ammo flying around.
You'd think if somebody has the money for two Teslas, not judging, I mean, sympathy to the gentleman and the family.
Yeah, nobody wants to see a fire. It's terrible.
But it does occur to me that there should be, like, you should lock your ammo in a safe that can be fire resistant. That way the ammo is safe. Because if you can afford the Tesla, you'd think you'd afford to store your ammo.
A gun safe.
Yeah, exactly.
We have firearms in our home. We have weapons. We're gun owners. We have ammo. It's kept locked away. But I have kids, you know, and that's why I've always had the need for a gun safe. I think, is a gun safe required? Safe storage of a gun is required, right?
It depends on where you are in the city. I know, I believe it was up in Everett a couple of weeks ago. They'd actually tried to enact some requirements in that regard. They were found to be not in accordance with the state constitution because of preemption regulations. So it depends on where you live and where in the country that you live.
It's always a good idea to keep your guns and ammo in a safe. Some folks would argue that you can't get to it when you need it at that point, but how about a smaller safe next to the bed? That's what you're worried about.
But did it ever occur to you that a secondary reason to secure your ammo would be that in case it catches fire, it will be shooting at the firefighters?
Right, which happened in this case.
Yeah.
And here's another story I'm really happy about. Snohomish County purchased a hotel in Everett, a Days Inn in Everett, because that's going to become transitional people experiencing homelessness shelter. It's not a homeless shelter. These are the people experiencing homelessness. I'm trying to get better about how I phrase it, how I talk about these people who are going through hard times. The city had been handing out vouchers to those experiencing homelessness to stay at the Days Inn, but they're eliminating the middleman and they're buying the hotel to house the people experiencing homelessness as a transition to help them find their way to permanent housing solutions. This solves a lot of problems. People are worried about the homeless and the crime and the, I don't want to say just disease, but, you know, the filth that comes sometimes with homeless encampments or just homeless people.
Creates unsanitary conditions.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much. I'm trying to find the words tonight. If you can help folks get off the street and into temporary housing, transitional housing, then that solves the problem for the folks who are experiencing homelessness and the folks who don't want those people creating unsanitary conditions in their neighborhood. Matt, thanks so much for helping me find the words. I appreciate you. So far, currently, Snohomish County has shelter space for 646 people. And with this purchase, they're adding an additional 74 units. The Shelter and Behavioral Health Partnership Program in Snohomish County has also provided 26 units. That's 110 new units. I guess by units, they mean like a room, right? For people to stay in transitional until they can find them long-term housing solutions. I wonder what kind of time frame is put on these temporary transitional housing. I imagine folks that are offered the ability to get off the streets and move to transitional housing, they're probably required to seek career counseling, work in a training program, probably, I'm not sure if there's drug testing involved. People have to be sober, clean and sober to be part of a transitional housing situation. I know a lot of folks who are experiencing homelessness. You can't get them to go to shelters because they have to stop drinking. They have to stop taking drugs. You know, some folks who are experiencing homelessness have mental health issues. Some folks are just having hard economic times and they're, you know, living in their cars, living in a temporary build-it-myself tent, shelter, that kind of thing. Those are the folks I imagine that are happy to accept transitional housing and are willing to live clean and sober in this transitional housing because they are literally experiencing just a tough economic situation. But there are folks with longer-term problems, mental health problems, I should say, and drug problems, addiction problems, I should say. Those are the folks that are harder to help. Those are the folks that don't want to be moved to transitional housing. You know, they're a myriad of problems.
Do you think if we followed the model of some Nordic countries and pursued a housing-first model, regardless of people's addiction status or circumstances, do you think in the long run that would actually be better for the problem?
As a socialist, a bleeding heart liberal socialist, I do, Matt. Thanks for pointing your finger. I appreciate that.
Hey, no, the other four fingers are pointing back at
you.
Direction.
Yeah, no, I do, and you have to point to the example of countries that have legalized drugs really do have less incidence of overdose and death, and it you know it takes out the criminalization factor, takes out the petty criminal charges, and helps lighten the load on the criminal justice system and the jailing systems in these countries. So that works. And people that make sure that housing isn't an issue for their citizens tend to find that their citizens do live better, healthier lives, more productive lives.
I believe it was Finland where they, from a statistical standpoint, they've pretty much eliminated homelessness in Finland because they say, well, first of all, your situation is not going to get any better being on the street. So we'll get you someplace safe and clean. Then we'll work on working with you to clean you up and get you reestablished into society.
And that makes sense. It's hard not to see that and say, yeah, that makes perfect sense. What else going on? Oh, the former president was in New York today giving his deposition in a civil case in which his business practices are being called into question by the New York Attorney General. This will play heavily into the, you know, victimhood status of a lot of Trump supporters and Trump himself. The former president pled the Fifth Amendment, which is his constitutional right to do.
He did not have much to say.
He did not have much to say about his business practices. Says his family and his businesses are being persecuted and it's politically motivated. And I don't know how that keeps you from saying I didn't do anything wrong or this is what I did. I don't know how your answer is affected by the motivation of the questioner. When someone asks you, did you lie about how much you valued your property at? I don't know how that's a political question. That's a fact-based question looking for the evidence of a crime committed. And if you didn't commit a crime, you say, no, I did not. Falsify the value of my properties or my tax returns or my business, my net worth statements to try to gain loans from companies and show that I had greater assets to receive better interest rates on my loans from banks. I did not do that. But pleading the Fifth implicates that you don't want to give in testimony that will incriminate. That's the whole nature of the Fifth Amendment. You don't have to give incriminating evidence against yourself. So when you plead the Fifth, it's hard to say it's because they're coming after you for a witch hunt. I mean, you know, unless you're a witch.
Didn't he have something to say about people who plead the
Fifth? It seems to me I do remember the words Fifth Amendment.
So there are five people taking the Fifth Amendment, like you see on the mob, right? You see the mob takes the Fifth. If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It seems to me, you know, they say, you know, don't worry that it's a witch hunt unless you're a witch, right? Witch hunts don't really worry anybody except witches. I hate getting political right out of the gate because I know a lot of folks that listen to John and Sherry are not of my political stripe, and that's fine.
But it does top the headlines, and it's an interesting contrast.
It is. It's one of the biggest stories in America right now, you know, the raid at Mar-a-Lago earlier in the week and how that's being used, but for fundraising purposes, not only by the former president, who's already put, send me your money so they can stop coming after you, too. And there's political candidates and wannabes across the country fundraising off the raid at Mar-a-Lago, and that's, wow.
I don't see why they're so worried about these new IRS agents taking people's money. They've got a pretty good system for taking their supporters' money already. They've got a well-oiled machine.
That one's driving me crazy, too. You know, part of President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, which is a great name as an Irishman, great name, has more money for the IRS. The IRS had been gutted of late. The number of employees at the IRS was reduced. The number of auditors at the IRS was reduced. So this money will help fund, if they can even find them, 82,000 new auditors for the IRS. Now, that should scare anybody who's cheating on their taxes, right? So if you're against getting more auditors in the IRS, is that much like pleading the fifth? Why are you pleading the fifth if you're innocent? Only the mob pleads the fifth.
Why are you defending tax cheats?
Right. Who worries about more auditors unless you're cheating on your taxes? So you're against law enforcement then, right? You're pro tax cheating. How do you complain about more auditors unless you are for pro cheating on your taxes? And we all take as many little loopholes as we get, and that's the way the system's written. I get it. I've got an accountant that I pay good money to every year for my taxes to make sure I'm not missing any kind of credit or deduction that I'm legally allowed to take.
Which you have to do because tax law can change so rapidly and the code is so complicated that unlike other countries, we have an entire industry based on paying people to file our taxes because we make it so complicated.
That's right. And that's so my tax accountant won't let me break the law. I've tried. I've asked them, hey, can I deduct this? No, you can't deduct that. You know, I bought a costume to go to a work function. No, you can't deduct that. You know, blah, 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 blah. But he tells me what I can and can't do. And he finds me plenty of deductions, and he helps me save as much tax money as he can. But I pay what I'm supposed to. And that's what 82,000 more auditors are going to make sure, that we all pay more than pay what we're supposed to. Not more than we're supposed to, but not let us cheat. Anyway.
That's why Elon Musk is having so many children. He needs those deductions stat.
Yeah. Okay, we're off and running. Nice job, Kev. Yes, it's the Cairo Knights, the Highway to Hell. I like that. Coming up, going back to school. Not just the kids this September, but adults going back to school. And student debt, student loan debt. What a problem that is in this country. And the fact that for the first time ever, the bulk of student debt is being carried by people 50 and older. We'll talk about that next one. Cairo Knights, don't go anywhere.
A little bit of the Everly Brothers.
Nice. This new one, right? New one from the Everly Brothers. The latest.
The greatest.
I'm Spike O'Neill. Welcome to Cairo Knights. We're off and running on the text messages, too. 888-973-5476. We'd love to hear from you. A lot of opposing viewpoints on a lot of things we say every single night, and that's just fine. We will be civil, I hope. We'll try. Try to keep our skirts from blowing up. We'll try to keep your skirts from blowing up. Try to keep your lid from blowing off. A lot of people defending the former president's pleading of the fifth say that this is, of course, a witch hunt. The Russian hoax was a witch hunt, blah, 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 blah.
Well, it needs a lot of lawyers. Maybe they could join up.
There you go. You know? Let's move on, though, to another topic. It's near and dear to my heart. Student debt. Coming at it from two sides. I went back to school in my mid-50s, my late 50s, actually. I was 57 when I started my next run at college because I was so horrible at the first run of college. Back in my 20s, as I think a lot of people were. Nobody got really, well, I can't say nobody. Nobody I knew or hung with got the most out of their college effort.
A lot of people don't fully appreciate education till they're more mature.
And I wish that was the case even now, that I was more mature, but I'm not. But I went back to school, and the reason I went back to school is I think the reason a lot of people go back to school later in life, change of career. Wasn't my choice. You know, I had been in radio for almost 30 years, and 4 years ago, I was let go. Not for lack of performance. I can show you the ratings. We were doing just fine. But the industry has changed over the years. Ownership in radio, not go too far down a rabbit hole, but ownership in radio has consolidated.
Which means fewer employment opportunities.
For those of you who didn't go to
college.
Yeah, right.
Larger
exactly.
companies that have taken on debt loads, publicly traded, et cetera.
Exactly. And people, you know, there are less jobs in radio. You know, syndication, consolidation, less jobs. So anyway, I went back to college and got myself a marketing degree, which is great. But now a study shows that people 62 and up are the fastest growing segment of Americans who have student debt. And student debt's a massive problem in this country. We've debated that on this radio station before. Student debt is the one debt you can never get rid of through bankruptcy. You can declare bankruptcy and your debts will be either negotiated and repaid in a percentage of what you owe or just wiped out completely, depending upon which level of bankruptcy you avail yourself of. And bankruptcies can be a very helpful tool. People start companies that don't really go anywhere, you know, the Scotch tape store, whatever your great idea was at the time, Waffle House in the middle of the Sahara Desert, you know, whatever it is.
I'm investing in video rental stores. That one's going to be huge.
That's going to be huge. It's going to be big, man. The rewind zone. Nice. So if your business fails through mismanagement or through just a bad business idea, your dream just didn't pan out, bankruptcies are there for you. You know, hey, maybe your factory let you go because your job got shipped overseas or your job got automated to become robotic. And you have to declare bankruptcy in order to not lose your home and keep your family together. That's what they're there for. That's fine. Student loans aren't ever subject to bankruptcy. Those things, you can pay off your student loan until you die. And student loans are some of the most difficult interest rate situations of any loans there are. Because, and I understand some of the rationale behind that because there's so much default on student loans. A lot of people take student loans to get big, fat degrees from liberal universities in the arts and whatnot, and they want to become an art history major because there's a ton of money in knowing how old a painting is. That, you know, you got to get an education that you can work with and build a career on and support a family with. That's first and foremost. It's great to be able to do what you love and get educated in the field that you love, pursue your passions, and if it comes together, that's wonderful. Doesn't always happen. So there are so many people that carry student debt. My sister, for example, went to college, got a degree, has a career, been making her student loan payments for now 25 years. She's paid more than she borrowed. She still owes more than she borrowed.
Right.
Still, as the unpaid balance.
Did you know in this New Yorker piece, they provided a case study. In 1983, this lady, Betty Ann, enrolled in a New York University law school, age of 52 years old. As a middle-aged black woman, she wasn't exactly your typical law student. She received some harassment at school, but she persevered, got her education. Now, at that time, she had borrowed $29,000. That's in 1983, $29,000. Today, at 91 years old, guess how much she owes?
Oh, she's got to be done paying it off by now, right? She probably owes maybe $3,000.
No such luck. Take a guess.
She owes $20,000 of the $29,000?
She owes $329,309 in student debt. She is 91 years old.
Did she stop making payments? Has she made payments?
She's been making the payments. It's just the interest and the fees have increased exponentially to a point where she now owes more than she borrowed.
There was a program called the income-driven repayment option where they will take how much you make. Instead of making your monthly payment for your student loan, like on how much you borrowed, if you borrowed $10,000, it's this much. If you borrowed $20,000, it's that much. This income-driven repayment program allows you to show them, look, I make $52,000 a year. So they deem that you can afford to pay $150 a month towards your student loan and still have money to live, you know, pay your bills, eat, commute, whatever it might be. At that point, you never get ahead of the interest rate. You're right, Matt. That's how a woman like this who went back to school in her 50s, and now is 91 years old and still owes 20 times. How much was that? She borrowed 29. She owes almost. She still owes more than 10 times the amount of money she borrowed. And she's been making payments the whole time. That's what's wrong with student loans. It's not people being irresponsible. Sometimes it is. I don't want to misspeak. People often shirk their loans. And that's why the interest rates are so high. That's why they're able to get these predatory type student loans out there and use them. But it's just a system that is just built to keep people paying forever on their student loans. You know, a lot of parents take out money to help their kids get through college. a lot of parents, smart parents, responsible parents, parents not like me, let their kid take on that student loan. You know, let their kid incur that debt. We as parents try to provide for our kids and provide for their education. I paid for my older daughter's her continued education through college, and I've got another one about to start college. So when I say I'm coming at student loan from two fronts, I went back to college 4 years ago, and my daughter's about to start her college career. So you have to be careful what you borrow. Hopefully I'll have the opportunity to borrow against my home. We have equity in my home. Seattle's become so expensive and our home values have gone up so much, I can borrow against my home instead of taking out a traditional student loan. And that doesn't give me the interest rates and predatory interest rates and penalties that student loans incur.
And your next step is to hope and pray your daughter does not become an art history major.
You know, it's funny. You're right. That's how do you tell a kid, no, you got to learn accounting. No, you got to study business. You got to do. A lot of parents will not let their kids follow their dreams or chase ridiculous majors.
My parents let me go into broadcasting.
Oh, horrible.
That was a case study in poor parenting.
you're doing just fine, bud. I'm glad you got into broadcasting. But that's the story now. Everyone is saddled with student debt. It's not just kids anymore. It's not just people who've been paying for 10, 15, 20 years. Like Betty in the story you mentioned, she's been paying for 40 years, and she still owes 10 times what she borrowed. Maybe that's what we have to look at with student loans is a new structure. I think the Department of Education is the largest lender in America. They have like $1.7 trillion that they hold in student debt. That's like the Freddie Mae, Fannie Mae, those student loan type folks.
Yeah, it says the bankruptcy code changed in 1976 so loans made by governments or nonprofit colleges could not be discharged.
Right.
Then in 84, they made it so private student loans couldn't be discharged in bankruptcy either.
You know, the banks are hurting that badly. That's who's hurting. Most people who have student loan debts, that's why they can't buy homes. You know, they're the student. That's not why, but it makes it more difficult to buy a home, makes it more difficult to start your life when you're saddled with student loan debt. You know, there's got to be a way to get people out from underneath the buried student loan situation. I don't know. We could talk for hours about student loans. If there's people out there that know the best way to finance your kids' college, please let me know. You know, get a minor in a dream, get a major in a practical. That's smart. That's from a texter, Trevor. It says, get a minor in your dream, but get a major in a practical application.
That's smart thinking.
Nice. Yeah.
I like that.
Oh.
60 Minutes apparently did a story on this. When a son passed away, they went after the mother and father for the debt. They had been divorced for 10 years. So this debt, apparently, in Betty Ann's case, that may well be coming from her estate, whatever she's left if she has children.
I think if we're going to do anything, there was talk about President Biden forgiving some student debt. And it probably wouldn't be a bad thing to forgive debt where you've been responsible. You've paid off a reasonable amount of what you borrowed or all of what you borrowed and a reasonable amount of interest on top of that.
Like once you've reached that point, if you've paid it off, I would say that's a strong case for forgiving the rest.
But the opposing views of that are, look, I went to a trade school or I work for a living. Why are my tax dollars being sent to somebody who, you know, took out a loan and can't pay it back?
Why are my tax dollars going to wars in the Middle East? Oh, we could play that game all
day. We sure can. Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of different opinions, and that's great. We appreciate your opposing viewpoints. We'll take them. We'll read them. We'll listen to them. We'll take advice where we can get it. We'll take good advice faster. The text line is 888-973-5476. I'm Spike O'Neill. Welcome to Cairo Nights. We'll be right back after this.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Who we got, Kev?
Soundgarden, man. Unknown.
I should know this. Has it been this long since I've heard this album? Oh. Hold on. The Super Unknown. Yep, there you go. We spoke about statues the other night here on Cairo Nights.
Statues.
Statues. Remember? Yes. Chris Cornell statue outside of Mopop.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Amazing
there it
voice.
Is. So in the 80s, Was it the 80s? Yeah, I guess it was the 80s. My memory's going so fast. Little group from Athens, Georgia, the B-52s. Was it the late 70s or was it 80s that they broke?
It might have been 78, 79. I'm not entirely sure when the first.
Well, the B-52s are doing a farewell tour. They're getting the beehives out and they're coming.
Hopping in that Chrysler as big as a whale, setting sail on that farewell tour.
Nice. They're playing here in Seattle?
Yeah, the 22nd is the opening date of the B-52's final tour.
Would you, it's funny, final tours. We talked about the Springsteen tour next year last week. We're talking about that dynamic ticket pricing fiasco.
And if it were the final tour, that would certainly change how much I would pay to see Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, but, well, we said then, and I'll repeat now, Bruce says he's never going to say, this is my final tour. You know, he's going to keep playing until he feels like he can't deliver what the audience deserves.
Right.
And then he'll stop. You know, how many, how many farewell tours have you seen? What band would you said somebody, I can't remember who it was. Was it Stone? Wasn't the Stones? I think I've seen 6 farewell Stones tours.
Okay.
I've seen a few Who final farewell tours. Elton John's doing his final tour, that Farewell Yellow Brick Road. And the B-52s are doing their final tour. So anybody you've never seen that you'd like to see that is still playing, that you want to make sure you see if they do come around?
Well, Bruce, definitely.
Bruce, definitely.
That's why that concerns me. It's just like, is this the last time? You know, you want to be sure and catch that show. Besides Springsteen, I'm not sure. I'm a big Wilco fan, so if they decided to hang it up, I would definitely want to see Wilco. I have seen them, but I would definitely want to see Wilco again before they retired.
I've never seen the B-52s.
Neither have I.
And it's funny because they've played shows, numerous shows in the area. They have toured this area numerous times, but I never had a chance to see. I might go see the B-52s in their final tour now that I know it's the last one coming. I'd like to see Willie Nelson. I've never seen Willie.
Yes. Yes. If Cataclysm strikes, I think Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson should definitely be in the secure bunker as the national treasures that they are. Although Willie's doing quite all right on his
Willie's
own.
Willie's doing fine. Apparently the medicinal powers of marijuana have been grossly underestimated.
Yes.
Willie will be here for a long, 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 long time.
They have done well.
Yeah. Speaking of Athens, I got to see R.E.M., And they have since, of course, decided they're never going to tour.
Did
never
they
play
do
again.
A farewell thing?
Nope.
I think they
no,
just
they just decided they were going to not play anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the Kinks a few times.
Nice.
Yep, I love the Kinks. Saw Van Halen with David. Saw Van Halen with Sammy. Then saw Van Halen with David that I wish I hadn't. A guy who didn't know when to say goodnight was David Lee Roth. And all due respect, David was amazing. Amazing.
Did you know he's an EMT? He's a licensed EMT.
Well, good. He's got something to fall back on.
Yeah.
That's great because he can't
tour. The rock
and
roll thing doesn't work out.
I'm going to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Having David come at you. We'll be right back after this. This is Cairo Nights.